God's blessings to you as we look at our scripture readings for this coming Sunday, the third Sunday of our Easter celebration and season as God's people, rejoicing in Christ and his resurrection for us and all the things that means for us as God's people. Let us begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the victory that Christ won over sin and Satan and death for us. And help us to think more in this Easter season about what that means and about the great hope that we have in Jesus and how you continue to work and bring people to faith in the use of your word and sharing your word with other people. We thank you that you gave many proofs directly to those first disciples that they've written down for us in the scriptures. But we thank you that you've given much more of your word also and helped us to understand that word too as we read the New Testament and look at the Old Testament as well. Bless us as we think about some of those things and keep us strong in Jesus and the hope that we have in him. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm recording this as there's a thunderstorm going on where I live. And so if you hear a little thunder or something in the background, that's simply what is going on here. The first lesson this week is again from the New Testament, as all the first lessons are during the Easter season. And this reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 21. And again, the book of Acts is kind of the history of the early Christian church from the resurrection of Christ, moving on, and how the gospel then is shared, the good news of Jesus, in many places. And we begin to see that in the readings that we have this week. And there was a man, lame from birth, who was begging at a gate of the temple in Jerusalem. And this is at the beginning of chapter 3 of Acts, and you kind of have to know this to see what is said, what goes on in our text itself. Peter sees the man. He has no money to give him, but he gives him something much greater, much better than simply a little bit of money to help him survive. And through Christ's power, the man is healed. And Peter makes it very clear that it's through the Lord that that has happened. And so now, for the first time in his life, this man can walk and leap and praise God. And he hears also of Christ as the Savior, through whom he has been healed. Okay, I'll continue along here. I had a little interruption with a pretty good burst of thunder and lightning right at this time, but doing fine. The man is healed, the lame man. He's walking and leaping and praising God. And people want to praise Peter and John because they think that it's through them that this man has been healed. But Peter makes it very clear that it's Jesus Christ through whom this man has been healed, and that Jesus is actually the author of life. He was there at the very beginning as God the Son, involved in the creation. Now he came into this world to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Unfortunately, he was rejected by many and was put to death, Peter says, because this isn't too long after the death and resurrection of Christ. And he speaks of the fact that Jesus did rise again from the dead. And Peter now calls all the people to repent of their sins, for many of them had been involved in calling for the death of Jesus and rejecting him. And he calls them, instead of rejecting Christ, to turn to him for forgiveness, for through him would come refreshment for them and for their lives, and hope for their lives, restoration, the restoration of God really wanted for us from a life of sin and falling away from God to a whole new life with God and with his blessings. And then the people, by faith, would await return of Christ and the final restoration of all things on the last day. And so Peter is really talking about Jesus not only as the creator, but as the creator of new life as well, as people come to faith in him. And that is available for everyone, Peter is saying, and calling people to faith in that way. The psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 4. It's another of the Psalms of David, and he writes of the fact that the Lord had given him relief when he was in many tight spots in his life. And that's literally what it says there in some of the opening verses. He was kind of hemmed in tight spots, but the Lord has helped him. And in some of those spots, he had been shamed and attacked by vain words and lies of others. Some think this might have been a psalm that was written after his own son turned against him and he and others tried to put him to death. We don't know, but David, because David went through numbers of experiences of that sort in his life, and he certainly had been angry and troubled about these things, but he seeks not to let that anger lead him into sin, he says in this psalm. In fact, this particular psalm is quoted in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians as well. Be angry, but don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger, to try to deal with it and get things turned around as quickly as possible in life. That's an important message for us, not only to want forgiveness from God, but to seek to battle sin and Satan's temptations, not to keep us pulling us back into sin and to evil. And David trusted the Lord in these difficulties he was going through. And the Lord heard his prayers, he says in this psalm, and gave him renewed joy in his heart for himself and for his life. A joy that's better, he says, than a lot of other things that one can happen. And I heard someone once speak of this as a true happy hour. It's a happy hour with our Lord that we don't need by drinking and carousing and all kinds of other things as well. It's the joy we find in our Lord and in his blessings. And David also finds more restful sleep. Again, wasn't always true for him, as we all struggle sometimes with that. But in the Lord, there is hope and peace and rest. And he knew that the light of God's face was upon him and allowed him to dwell in safety, even in very difficult times, as he is speaking about in this passage. We think of the scripture in the New Testament that's often used in worship, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. That's what David experienced in his own way, looking forward to the coming of that Savior. Well, the gospel lesson then is from Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. And we hear more in this passage about Jesus' first appearance to his disciples and some others on Easter Sunday after his resurrection. At first, we hear that they thought they were seeing a spirit or a ghost, and Jesus gives them lots of evidence that it's truly he. And again, remember, they were behind locked doors, and suddenly Jesus was there. And it wasn't immediately that they understood everything, but it took them a little while, as this passage tells us. And Jesus gives them lots of evidence that it's he, alive again in his resurrected body. They can see his pierced hands and feet and touch him. He also asked for some food and ate it in front of them to indicate that it's really Jesus alive again, the same Jesus they knew, but now raised from the dead. And this is kind of a reminder that it wasn't just doubting Thomas who struggled sometimes with these things, but the other disciples did. And Jesus gave them many proofs to show them that he was alive. But he also gave them, and this is what's important for us, his words, because we don't get the chance, unless God would in some very unique situation would choose to do so, and that would rarely ever happen, to give us evidence of his presence in a more direct way. What we know is the word of God, the words of Scripture. These are my words, Jesus says, that predicted all of this. And then we hear that Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He showed them that it was written that he would have to suffer and die and then rise again on the third day. And now it would be their job to call people everywhere to repentance and forgiveness through Jesus and his name and his word. And they would be empowered from power on high. And that's a reference to what we know of as Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come upon them from on high and strengthen them for this work of sharing the gospel. Well, that's exactly what we see Peter and John doing in the first lesson we had for today in the book of Acts chapter 3, when they are in the temple in Jerusalem God healed the man through them, through God's word, and then they share the good news of Jesus. And that is frankly how we also have come to faith in Jesus to this very day. It's not by some direct seeing of Jesus except through his word. And John talks about that in our epistle lesson for today from 1 John 3:1-7. And from what the scriptures tell us, it's through the word of God proclaimed to us, taught to us, along with the word of God connected with water in the gift of our baptism and those blessings that God gives to us, and the word of God connected with bread and wine in the Lord's Supper to strengthen us in our continued life in Jesus through the gift of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. It's through the love of God in Christ that we have come to faith and are actually the children of God now, John tells us. Even though most all of us, probably all of us, haven't actually seen Jesus in the same way that those first disciples did. But we see him through their words, through the scriptures, through their eyewitness accounts of all of these things. And we are the children of God by faith in Christ, just as people were in that very first century. And we also await Christ's appearance on the last day, John says, when we shall see Jesus as he is. We'll get that chance one day in the future as we reach eternal life, or if Christ comes back before we die. And then we'll see as those first disciples saw Jesus on Easter. But already now we are purified simply through Christ, through trust in him and his forgiveness. But then John goes on to remind us, we also then try to battle the sin that still is around, the temptations of Satan, the lawlessness, he says, going against the law and the will of God, those words that God gives us. And that's the way Satan wants to lead us astray. And we pray for God's strength in those battles again. And we live by the word of God, trying to understand God's word and his will and what he would wish for us as God's people now. It's not what saves us, but it's what we do now as Christian people. We confess our sins when we know that we have failed, which happens all too often, and yet we live by God's mercy and forgiveness and strength in Jesus and what he has done for us. That's what all of these readings today are really encouraging us in Christ our Savior, through what Christ has done, but the witness we have about all of that, and the Word of God, which strengthens us. Well, the Lord's blessings as you think about these things and consider them, and I hope you will, if you can, get to worship and be with others in hearing that Word of God as it is proclaimed and your pastor speaks about all of these things. If you can't, I hope you'll keep studying the scriptures on your own and look at these readings on your own as well. for the Spirit is with us always in and through the Word and can strengthen us in that way as well. Well, the Lord's blessings to you in all of this, and above all in Christ. And he brings us the Word, but he's also called the Word made flesh, the Word of God in living form. And we'll see that so very clearly on the last day when Christ returns. But we see it now in his Word. Well, the Lord's blessings to you all.